unexamined life is not worth living.
I think we all have a different threshold around safety and what that is and what that means to be safe, and what does that then entail in relation to what you wear or don't wear or what you do and don't do.
This is Cross-Examined Life, the place where you're encouraged to ask more questions. The format is cross-exam, and the subject is chosen by the guest. Join us as we elevate the art of disagreement, unpack assumptions, and challenge beliefs, one question at a time.
Welcome to episode 36 of Cross-Examined Life, the show that improves the way we disagree with one another. I'm your host, Chris Tatum. And you'll enjoy this episode if you ever think about whether the government should have a say in how we choose to protect ourselves. In today's episode, Felicity from Melbourne, Australia, describes how she feels strongly about the government's involvement in regulating whether bicyclists should wear helmets. Recently, listeners have been saying such kind things about Cross-Examined Life. Aaron on Facebook said, "I was very impressed with the show and your nature when talking and debating. I'm loving the show." Thank you so much for the kind words. And I encourage you, if you enjoy the show, if you have suggestions for future episodes, drop me a line. This episode is sponsored by LukeRaffertyVisuals.com. Luke will help you take your message and your branding to the next level. If you need help reaching your audience, if you want to make a video that's stunning and gorgeous, hit up Luke at LukeRaffertyVisuals.com. Mention Cross-Examine Life and get $100 off your first video. Also encourage you to leave me a voice message or send me a text, 307-240-9190. You can also find us on the Cross-Examine Life community. All right, here's Felicity, defending the position that bicyclists should be required to wear helmets.
Hi, I'm Felicity. I'm defending that cyclists are to wear helmets. And the reasons I recommend that is to reduce head injuries, so that if a person does fall off their bike, that they are also not a liability to the health system. So I believe in it for health reasons, but also the benefit is also that, particularly in Australia, we do have a free healthcare system if we so choose, so that it's not a liability to the healthcare system as well. You know, we take responsibility for ourselves and that we can create a better outcome by wearing a helmet. So if you don't wear a helmet, then obviously you're making that choice. And if something unexpected happens where you can't control the outcome, such as some kind of body injury or a head injury, then, you know, that does affect the rest of your life. So that's the choice you make. If you wear a helmet, then you've put yourself in the best position not to, if anything should happen, such as a dog running out on the road, or you misjudging the pavement or the road or wherever it is you're riding, that, yeah, put your best foot forward, basically. Yourself in the best position possible.
Sure. Is this something that you feel that individuals should do, or something that government should require cyclists to wear?
Well, I think that people don't necessarily take responsibility for themselves. So unfortunately, I think it is something that the government needs to legislate for, which it has been done in quite a number of countries. So there are, I think, 273 laws enacted worldwide now, with, only two being fully repealed, which is Mexico City in Bosnia and Herzegovina. However you say that. But other than that, yeah, there are. It actually is quite reasonably legislated worldwide.
Okay. So let's kind of talk about what situations you think would be appropriate for helmets to be required in. Would you say that it's anytime you're on a bicycle, period, or only if you're on like a public road?
Well, I think anytime you're on a bicycle, period, because I have also, say, been mountain biking, and mountain biking is quite a technical sport as well, depending on where you ride and also how you ride, how aggressive you ride. Also for, say, school children who don't necessarily have the awareness around them, you know, to stop in time, like they mightn't be coherent enough to actually activate the brakes.
Sure.
They could be distracted or whatever, or not even, you know, just have the coordination. So I think that, yeah, it needs to be for all ages and across the board.
What about on someone's private property, if they have like a really long driveway that, you know, they or their children want to ride their bikes on? Is that also an area that you think should be regulated, that they should sort of have to wear helmets on that stretch of driveway on their own property?
Yeah, that's a fair point. I think that obviously in family situations or in more relaxed situations, you know, there could be that tolerance there. I guess it depends on the children's capabilities and the people's capabilities, and also perhaps how aggressive they are riding. You know, if they're going hell for leather or smashing it about, like, then I would suggest that they wear a helmet. But if they're just cruising around, I don't really see any harm in that. It's a personal choice.
You're saying that's applicable on their own property, but as soon as they leave their property, all bets are off.
Yeah, just depending on the type of cycling that you do and how aggressive you are, and also the circumstances. You know, if someone's on a property and there's other vehicles driving around of some sort, you know, I guess it depends on how much activity is going along with that and how relaxed that is. If it's just a normal family situation, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with my children just hanging about, chilling around, riding a bike without a helmet. But I think, yeah, if you put in other factors and it can gets more complicated, I think that, you know, you're subjecting them to harm of some sort, you know, so who knows? I mean, magpies do swoop. So, you know, it's magpie season here at the moment. So it's spring and some people are saying how aggressive they are, and they really are. So if you're in a circumstance with that, then I'd definitely say wear a helmet, you know, if you're on your farm property.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what about in beach towns? You often see people just out for a, you know, lazy Sunday morning cruise on their bicycle. Maybe they have a basket in front that they've put some breakfast items in, and, you know, they're going two or three blocks, mostly riding on sidewalks on their little beach cruiser. Is that the situation where you're going to say, you know, you are required by law to wear a helmet?
Well, I did notice I was in LA last year down at Huntington Beach, and I found that they did have a few of those cruises around, and people were really cruisy riding around. It's a beachside suburb, as you say, and I just think there's a different feel to that suburb. Here in Australia, drivers are a lot more aggressive and don't really give sometimes the right of way, or aren't so amenable to people being relaxed and cruising around. So I think that, you know, there's a certain vibe with some communities, as in Europe, you know, in Copenhagen, they're very respectful of riders. And so they're not rushing. And even in China, if you look at the huge population there, and somehow they seem to meld together drivers, you know, a lot of congestion with cars, people walking and people cycling, and people can kind of walk out or ride out in front of, you know, a vehicle, and they seem to stop or maneuver their way around it, navigate their way around it. Whereas here, someone would be hit. So it somehow, I don't understand it, I have to say, but they're a lot cruisier in China and a lot more gentle, I think, and respectful. Whereas here in Australia, they're a lot more aggressive. And so with that kind of environment, I think that, yeah, you need to wear a helmet because you'll be knocked off,
yeah.
Which is really sad, you know, that, yeah, you feel really in fear for your safety. Whereas over in, you know, Huntington Beach, LA, it felt really safe to be riding around, you know, say without a helmet. People, like you say, they're just cruising around. So they're just going around their day to day, you know, perhaps getting a loaf of bread from the shop here and maybe a coffee there or whatever, but they're also not in a hurry. So I think that that's, you know, a lot to do with lifestyle, whereas here we always seem to be in a hurry. And so people really want to get from A to B as fast as possible and aren't necessarily so conducive to having that more laid back kind of approach. But yeah, I mean, there are different levels of cycling, as you suggest, and you're talking about the more cruisier types. So, you know, I, for instance, ride a road bike. So I'm out riding on the roads, which don't always have bicycle lanes or cycling lanes, which, you know, do have fast speed traffic going by. So I do have lights on, you know, I dress appropriately and accordingly,
if I'm riding in the dark or, you know, early in the morning, whatever, you know, but also you could hit a pothole, you know, so I could hit a pothole. It doesn't have to be a car necessarily. It could be anything. There could be an obstruction on the bike lane. You know, there's sometimes timber, pieces of timber or whatever. You know, it could be wet. Sometimes the laneways have this, the white paint isn't really necessarily white paint. It's like a vinyl. So sometimes you can, you know, go A over T on that if it's slippery. So there's just different circumstances. And I think that if you're, you know, wanting to, like, safety comes first because to me, because I want to enjoy the rest of my life, like in this physical capacity that I've got now.
It sounds like maybe you have different standards, or I don't know, maybe you don't, but I kind of want to suss out this difference a little bit between Australia and Huntington Beach that you're bringing up. It seems pretty clear that you're in favor of laws requiring helmets in Australia because of the drivers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then what about Huntington Beach, California? Are you also in favor of laws requiring cyclists to wear helmets, or are you saying that law is only required in Australia but not really in Southern California?
I think that if personally, if you want to look after your health, because you can't control every situation, I think it's safest to wear a helmet regardless. But I understand that there's different contexts and different situations where you mightn't feel like wearing a helmet, as in being on holiday and in a situation like Huntington Beach. So I can relate to that. Like, easily, I can easily, you know, would love to have my hair free and riding in a dress, say, and, you know, I'm always in kit. So, you know, in a different situation on holiday, I think that would be really fun. And I actually did ride a bike, actually, now you've reminded me, along there. I went to the next suburb and went to an organic cafe, which was fantastic, but I did wear a helmet. I was going along the boardwalk, and then I was on the road, which was quite busy, when I think it was Newport, I think it's called. So, yeah, I just think it really depends on the situation and the responsibility that you wish to take for yourself. Like, if I'd ridden along there and just, say, got hit and had an outcome of, you know, having a brain injury, well, and I wasn't wearing a helmet, well, I have to take responsibility for that. So I guess, you know, I have to own that. And then, you know, I'd be most likely upset with myself about that because I wear a helmet all the time. So, you know, that's a personal conscience and also sense of self-responsibility, I guess, you know, for creating. You can't always control every outcome in relation to how others drive around you or not.
For sure, but for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And you sort of suggested earlier that people often aren't very good at taking personal responsibility. And so as a result of that, oftentimes the government has to step in and say, this is the requirement that we're going to put in place. And so I guess that's maybe where my question comes from is, you know, do you think the government of California should say, nah, don't worry about helmets, but the government of Australia should say, yes, you must, because of the different types of drivers? Or do you think they should have the same law?
Well, the thing is too, you know, in the States you have, we assume that you have a lot more litigation cases in the States than in Australia. And so that is also putting the blame onto someone else if something happens, that you're suing someone else for that consequence. So, you know, I think that that's sort of the same thing. So really, you know, I don't think it's just Australia bound, because obviously that's just really in relation to predominantly, say, drivers, but equally so, like I said, with mountain biking or depending on where you ride. I mean, you can get a flat tire anywhere and, you know, depending on what speed you're doing, that can take you out. So, you know, you can be sliding along the road or wherever, or you can hit a tree or, you know, whatever. That also means that you can get an injury from that. And it just depends on the speed and obviously what you've hit and how you've hit it and all that kind of thing, the angle, how that affects you. So if you want to, say, reduce the impact of that, then I suggest wearing a helmet.
Yeah. And I mean, it sounds as if you'd go so far as to even say that, you know, both those places, even though they might have a different environment or a different attitude or even different drivers, that they really should have the same law, which is you need to wear your helmet.
Yeah, it's because, I mean, we can all make bad judgments as well. You know, we have good days and bad days, and some days you're on fire and you can react a lot more quickly to a situation and respond quickly to avert a situation. And other days, you know, you're not so aware or you're distracted with something else. So if you are wearing a helmet, then you're really covering all bases to the best of your ability. And the outcome is the outcome, but at least you know that you've protected yourself as much as you can.
Yeah. Now, one of the reasons that you gave for your support of this position at the beginning of this conversation was that individuals who do fall and sustain an injury, particularly a serious injury, become a liability to the health system. Mm-hmm. And that because of that, then they should have to wear this additional protection. Mm-hmm. I suppose my question around that is whether in your mind, there's other activities that also involve individuals who run risks and then when they become injured, create a liability for the health system. But in those other activities, we don't put these extra requirements on people, or we don't say you have to wear these, you know, extra protective gear just because maybe there's not that tradition in place. Do you see that happen ever?
That's an interesting question. It kind of prompts me to think about New Zealand, because we actually are quite, I think, protected with our laws. So for instance, there are quite a lot of obligations in relation to different businesses when it comes to chairlifts, for instance, and other sporting kind of activities, whereas New Zealand doesn't have such a strict law enforcement, I don't think. So for instance, you can do a lot more activities over there in relation to skydiving or skiing or helipadding or whatever it is. You know, they actually have quite a lot of outdoor activities that aren't so restricted by the legalities. So so over here we tend to take a lot more precaution. We are a lot more precautionary, I guess, because that is enforced and we don't have the choice around that necessarily. But yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think that we need to, like I said, we need to take responsibility for ourselves. And so I'd like to think that, you know, we all have common sense, but common sense isn't necessarily common practice. And we can be influenced by other things at the time, like being in a hurry or, oh, it'll be all right. You know, we have this saying, she'll be all right, mate. So, yeah, it can really just depend, be in the moment decision sometimes. And, yeah, and that, you know, can give you a good result or not a good result, depending. Yeah.
I wonder, I mean, if to the extent that there's many skiers in Australia, do you happen to know if it's required to wear a helmet while skiing in Australia?
No, it's not. No.
So if when a skier falls, they create a liability to the health system, why should a helmet not be required for a skier but be required for a cyclist?
Well, that's a good point. I don't have an issue with that argument, because that's a really good question, particularly since there's a lot of different levels of skiers, you know, whether you're learning the snowplow or you know the snowplow and then you're on the next level, you know, and people go up there without taking lessons, and then there's people that do take lessons, so you get a lot of different skill levels. That's a really good point. And equally so with cycling, I guess most people can find their balance probably a bit quicker on a bike, generally speaking, than they do on skiing. But that's right. There's a good argument around that. Why don't we wear helmets for skiing? Maybe because it's powder and snow, and maybe a lot of accidents that happen there are a softer landing, so that there's perhaps not such an impact as there is when you're riding a bike.
Okay. Yeah, it could be the case. Let me extend this argument sort of one degree further and ask you about this sort of hypothetical situation. If studies were done and data showed that it's more dangerous to ride a motorcycle with a helmet on, just because motorcycles are inherently dangerous, than it is to ride a bicycle without a helmet, would you be in favor of eliminating all motorcycles because studies have shown it's just so dangerous to ride a motorcycle, period, even if you do it with a helmet on?
Well, it's interesting, you know, when you're passionate about a sport and you want to keep doing it. So it's like, it's the daredevil in you as opposed to the daredevil that isn't. Yes. Well, I guess we all have different risk tolerances. You know, we all have different risk levels. And so, for instance, me riding a bike, I don't really see that as a high risk, other than, you know, I'm really conscious of the time of day I ride, where I ride, when I ride, what I'm wearing. I think about all the different factors and who I'm riding with on that ride. So I join a bunch and I ride with a great bunch. So, you know, some riders are safer than others to sit on their wheel. And so I'm mindful of that. And, you know, I have a distance that I might keep on someone that whose wheel I don't trust as much as someone I do. Sure. So they're all choices that you make, you know, along the way, each and every moment of that ride.
Sure.
So, and they can all be, you know, go either way. Like either I can run up someone's wheel and come off, or they could run up my wheel, or, you know, we could collide or whatever, hit a hole, have a flat, have a, yeah. You know, I think it's the same with motorcycling. Like some people just are way more, have a way, a really high tolerance for, you know, exciting sports, speed, you know, like skiing, like motorcycling, like whatever it is, right. Adrenaline sports. And we're all different, and that's fine. I don't, you know, I think it's fantastic that we're all diverse and different, and there's so many different sports that we can do. But, you know, my argument is that just to reduce the risk of whatever can happen as a, like, you know, injury-wise or as in an accident-wise, like what can we do to reduce that or eliminate that? So, like, I don't go out on my bike to have an accident. I go out wanting to feel safe, be safe, act safe, and, you know, enjoy the ride along with everyone else. So,
sure.
You know, whatever sport that is, I have the same demeanor and the same thought process. I don't go out trying to break a leg. And absolutely. I don't think anyone does. But, you know, what I think we all have a different threshold around safety and what that is and what that means to be safe. And what does that then entail in relation to what you wear or don't wear or what you do and don't do? You know, it's the same right. with driving. You know, I know that I, even though I'm a cyclist, I actually do like driving fast, and I think I'm a good driver, but I you know, I drive within the speed limit. Sometimes I go over the speed limit, but I'm really quite cautious. Like I indicate, you know, I stay in the left lane because we're the opposite to you. And, you know, I'm really aware so of what's around me, whereas you can look at other drivers and they wouldn't really know what's going on, you know, so it doesn't really matter what speed they're driving. You know, you could equally say that about anything, cycling, motor, bike riding, whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's about, you know, awareness, being full in mind with, you know, in your faculties, really, like knowing, like with your eyes, seeing what's out there, you know, and you're making decisions on the spur of the moment. So they're all things that we do on a daily basis in our jobs and things like that. And sometimes we get it right and sometimes we get it wrong. So, yeah, I just, you know, probably have a lower threshold maybe than most people because I'm wanting to enjoy the rest of my life being able to participate in all these activities. So for me, that means wearing a helmet. For other people, maybe that's not so important, but I do think that that's an important thing for my well-being.
Yeah. And important enough to everyone's well-being and to the well-being of the system that you think the government should require that.
Yes, absolutely. Because I think that, you know, if someone does get a head injury, it's not just the person that's suffering that and then learning to adapt or from the result of that. It's also the family, you know, the family, whether it's, you know, the husband, the wife, the children or the parents or whoever it is, it doesn't matter. It's important that it's not just looking after yourself, it's also looking after your family.
I want to see if I can return to this motorcycle issue without maybe repeating myself. So kind of ask it in a different manner. I wonder if someone came along and argued that individuals who ride motorcycles, even with helmets, become such a liability to the health system through their injuries that motorcycling should be outlawed. Would you support that? Would you be in favor of that? Because you would say, yes, it's clear that they are such a liability to the health system. Anything that becomes such a liability to the health system, we have to ban. We have to make illegal. Would you take that position?
I'd have to see the stats on that. I don't know that I'd be so strong for that because I think that I'm not really sure. I think it's really good to be opinionated in some things, but I think you can be overly opinionated as well. So I wouldn't want to deny people to be able to participate. However, if the stats were so high that it was, yeah, really overwhelming, then yes, I would. So, you know, I'd really hate that to be the case. So I think they, you know, it'd have to be quite extraordinary, I think, for me to agree with that.
But you do think that the research is strong enough with respect to injuries of cyclists without helmets to basically support denying people the ability to enjoy cycling if they don't want to wear a helmet. Is that accurate?
Well, I guess the people that I ride with and myself, we ride a few times a week. So it's not just, you know, we ride regularly. And mm-hmm. So in the context of the people that I ride with and in the situation I ride in, and also, you know, I actually did do a post in WhatsApp with the group that I ride with saying that I was going to be on this podcast and I was interested in their points of view. Had some really great stories, and some, you know, were talking about how they fell off their bike at six, you know, without a helmet because we didn't have the laws back then, you know, that they totally recommend wearing a helmet. So everyone, I didn't have one person that said no, you know, so, and they were all different ages and some had had different injuries and, you know, and gone to hospital, et cetera, as have I. So, you know, I got knocked off my bike about 6 years ago, 6.5 years ago, and was unconscious and fell on my head at doing around 40 Ks or 45 Ks an hour. And, wow. You know, was on the other side of the road and taken into the hospital by an ambulance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't remember that day. So I just remember waddling out of the hospital and then, you know, falling asleep and then going to the toilet and then throwing up. So, you know, that's not really something that I wish to repeat, and I wouldn't want that to happen to anyone else. I broke my collarbone and that's all fine, that can heal. But it's the implications of that post that, you know, so I know that I was in QR, not quite right after that. And whilst I wasn't afraid to ride back in a bunch again, I don't really want to spend the rest of my life in a challenged way when, you know, luckily if I hadn't worn that helmet, I do believe I'd either have a brain injury or be dead. So, that, I mean, that's the choice you make. It's just purely a choice. So, you know, if other people don't want to wear a helmet and you know, like anything, we all have laws, and if you don't follow the law and you're not doing it, and then there's a consequence for that, whatever that is, whether you get fined or whether you get away with it or you have an injury, you know, I guess you've got to live with yourself, don't you, really? And sure. So, you know, it's the same with motorbikes. It is illegal not to wear a helmet here. You have to wear a helmet for motorbikes as well. Well, you know, their speed is way more multiplied than a cyclist, you know. Right. So, for instance, that to me, that the risk factor is multiplied by, I don't know, would it be 10? Who knows? It's multiplied a lot more. So you just have to take all that into consideration, you know, right. Like how much or how far do you want to push it? You know, like if you don't wear it, well then, yeah. And so then who pays for that? Like, do you pay for that or who pays for that? It's not just the health system. It's also your family. You know, they love seeing you. Everyone wants to see everyone vibrant. You don't want to see someone sitting there suffering or, you know, with an injury that could have been alleviated, do you know what I mean, just from a simple solution like wearing a helmet. Not sure. To say that that solves the problem all the time. It doesn't necessarily, but I think the majority of the time, you know, it would, in my situation, I'm pretty sure it saved me. So,
What if a legislator came along and said, look, people are intelligent. People have a lot of resources at their disposal. There's more information available than ever before. People can and do understand the risks of going out cycling without a helmet. And people have common sense. And we need to trust them to exercise their common sense to make smart, rational decisions based on the information available to them. Therefore, in Australia, we should eliminate the laws requiring people to wear helmets. We should leave it up to individuals and their own sense of personal responsibility to decide if they want to wear one or not. How would you respond to that person?
Well, there's a great book by Dr. Joe Dispenza called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. And the thing is, it's quite interesting because even though we know that, if we eat less food, let's say, we'll maintain our weight or lose weight. Or if we eat, you know, don't eat chocolate or whatever it is when it comes to diet. So the thing is, we know that. Do we do that? No. Do we feel like chocolate and eat chocolate? Yes. Maybe not, you know, everyone and all the time, but, oh, and do we have one piece of chocolate or do we eat the whole block of chocolate? You know, do you know what I mean? So yeah, it's to me, it's the same thing. It's like, it's all discipline and not just, you know, understanding common sense. It's the habit. So we get into these habits and we automatically repeat the habits. So you have to really retrain yourself to change a habit. And that actually takes quite a lot of awareness. And so I think it's the same with the whole situation with the helmets. You know, like for me, it's a habit and I don't really think any more about it because I believe in that, you know, I think the outcome is what I'm after.
Right.
So, yeah. But I might have to pause there because I forget the question now.
Oh, it's fine. And it was a long and convoluted question, but essentially if a lawmaker wanted to come along and remove the law requiring cyclists to wear helmets and say, let's trust people to their common sense and rational thinking, how would you respond?
Yeah, so I don't think we respond in a normal sense in a rational way with everyday things, just like, say, food as an example, because that relates to everybody. And if you look at the population and say how many people go on diets and all that kind of thing. So I think by removing that and relying on people to use their common sense is ridiculous, because I don't think that people will. They'll do what suits them in the moment because we're like that.
Yeah.
You'd have to be super disciplined or really principled. And yeah, depending on how principled you are. So yeah, I think it takes quite a bit of discipline and being principled.
Okay. I don't mean to, you know, draw this conversation into the absurd, but, you know, I do like pushing on points and that's what the show is all about, sort of cross-examination. So, we are going to sort of take this to the next level and talk about consequences. I don't actually know what the consequences are in most, you know, countries for failure to wear a helmet. I imagine it's a small fine. I imagine a second infraction is probably a slightly bigger fine. I don't know that there's any country on the planet that will put you in jail for failing to wear a helmet while on a bicycle. But my question for you is this. So long as your position that you're defending is that cyclists should wear helmets and that the government should enforce that, the government should require people to wear helmets because, as you said, trusting people to use their common sense is ridiculous. How far should the government go to make sure people wear helmets?
Well, I think there's always a cost to law enforcement, isn't there? So, for instance, we do have fines. There are fines in every state and there are fines in other countries as well, so that are listed here. But as you say, I think that, you know, there's also, for instance, with us, it's the police that enforce that. So they also have, you know, limited resources and that wouldn't be a priority to them, I would imagine, and unless it's in a particular situation, because they have other activities in law enforcement to do, you know, that are perhaps more important. And, you know, I imagine that it's a matter of priorities. So as I would imagine in every other country, quite frankly, I don't really think not wearing a helmet is like being, or say, stealing or something like that, let's say. So I guess it depends on, how they prioritize their tasks and also staffing. It comes down to staffing. So,
Yeah. Let me make this a little more specific and think of a small beach town in Australia with a very small police department. And every day someone goes out kind of joyriding around the streets of the beach town and they are not wearing a helmet. And every day, the same police officer from this very small police department stops that person and says, hey, you know, it's a law to wear your helmet. You're not wearing it. Here's a citation. Here's a fine you have to pay as a result. And they give them a little ticket. And this happens for, I don't know, 5 days in a row, 10 days in a row. I guess my question for you is on the 11th day, should that police officer take a bigger step to enforce that other than just issuing a fine? Should they bring that person to the station, maybe lock them up and put them in jail?
Well, That's a good question. And I guess it depends on a few factors. One being, are they riding dangerously? Two, is the child doing it? You know, maybe they're just doing it for attention. So there's other factors involved there. In Australia, there's actually quite a bit of education around cycling and bike education. So a lot of the schools, you know, have these programs. So perhaps the child could go to a cycling program, you know, one of those bike education programs so that they understand and see the relevance more. I think you're always going to get rebels. There's always going to be a kid that's a rebel. So I have to say, I don't really like breaking kids' spirits, but also sometimes I think it's that, you know, they need to know when no is no. So, you know, that's a fine line probably, and would be perhaps case by case kind of, you know, consultation. I'm not really sure because, you know, I think it's a bit broad having that kind of particular illustration, but you know, it depends on the person as well. Maybe they need a bit of a kick up the butt, but maybe they just need to be educated.
Sure. All right, well, at the end of each of these cross exams, I give my guests the opportunity to reflect on our conversation and just think about if their opinion has changed in any way as a result of this back and forth, even if their, you know, overall position hasn't changed, maybe some, you know, perspective has changed. So I just ask you to share if your perspective has changed in any way as a result of our conversation.
Oh, thanks, Chris. I'd really like to thank you for the opportunity to have the chat with you and the discussion. It's very thought-provoking and I've really enjoyed it. My position hasn't changed, but I do like thinking about all the other pieces that you've put forward today. I find that really something to think about and reflect on. But, you know, I haven't changed, but that doesn't mean I don't see the other side, if you know what I mean. Like, yeah, I don't appreciate, you know, I don't totally write it off. I do appreciate some of the points you've made, and they're definitely some things to think about.
Wonderful. Great. Well, that's what the show's all about. I wonder if you might share a little bit about yourself with our listeners. You've already mentioned that you've spent extensive time cycling and even had some injuries come about as a result. Maybe you could talk about how that has translated into a career for you and even a podcast.
Oh, sure. Thank you. Well, I started originally out as a triathlete, actually. I came back from overseas and I'd put on a stone of weight, so I was busy trying to lose that. And so I started learning how to swim and ride a bike and run, and did that for 3 years, competing around Australia, and totally loved it and was addicted. And then I started Body Talk in that time as well. So I started a cycling apparel clothing business, and we manufactured for 22 years, and then we've been offshore for the last 10 years. So I still love riding. I did actually have a break, but I've been back on my bike for the last 13 years and love bunch riding, and yeah, love riding on my own as well. Just love the outdoors, actually. So I find it really therapeutic and great for my body, mind, and spirit. So yeah, I recommend it to everyone. And continue to work in the business, and yeah, we're now an online apparel brand as well, so we do our own range as well as doing custom team gear. So I still love doing that and have great clients. So yeah, it's a fun business. I get to actually ride my bike and meet my clients on the road.
That's wonderful. Can you remind us of the name and spell the name of the podcast that you host?
Oh, sure. My podcast is called All Talk, and so my business name or the company name is Body Talk with T-O-R-Q-U-E. So All Talk is all T-O-R-Q-U-E as well.
Okay. And what sort of things could listeners find on the podcast?
Oh, we discuss everything around cycling. So I've spoken to people that are athlete management people or protein powder, a guy that does cricket protein, also coffee, nitro coffee, and cold nitro coffee and products. So cycling products that are quite innovative. So yeah, anything around cycling mindset, all that kind of things, cycling coaches, triathlon coaches. So yeah, any topic that's related to cycling and triathlon.
Okay, excellent. Well, Felicity, thank you so much for taking time to come on Cross Examine Life. It was a joy to talk about this with you.
Oh, thank you. I loved it. Thanks very much, Chris. Love the name Cross Examine Life too. It's awesome.
Great.
Even though there are no obvious takeaways from today's cross-exam, I want to encourage you to think about things that are a smart idea, like helmets, And then be willing to ask yourself or other people you know who support the use of those things, do I think they're important enough that their use should not just be encouraged, but required? If you do, or if you don't, that might be a fascinating starting point for a future disagreement or conversation with another person. What did you think of today's cross-exam? I'd encourage you to join our Facebook group, the Cross-Examine Life Community, and let other listeners know. There, you can find summaries of Felicity's argument and an ongoing discussion about whether or not she proved her point.
Well, that'll about do it for today's cross-exams. If you enjoyed them, please leave us a rating in the iTunes store. And mention this show next time you're swapping podcast recommendations with friends.
Thanks so much for listening. If you liked what we're doing here, find more of our questions on iTunes and Stitcher. If you want to propose a topic or sign up to be a guest, please visit us at crossexaminedlife.com.